today on Living on Every Word.
Are you angry today? Is there somebody in your life that's offended you?
Do you want to go the way of Cain, or would you like to go the way of Christ?
The way of Christ is, listen, forgive. This is the key. It is the key in this life to find the peace, the purpose, and the power of God. It's to forgive.
We all experience hurt from others. Sometimes it's unthinkably painful. But the question is, how will we respond? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us how essential forgiveness is and how we can achieve it in part four of Words of the Resurrected Christ.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We are studying the final words of Christ after resurrection to his disciples. And so, as we look at these words, as we look at the words that Christ gives his disciples, and to understand that these are really truly words to live on, words to live by. They're very, very powerful words. In chapter 20, verses 19 and following, follow along with me. When it was evening on that day, that's resurrection day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And then he said to them again, "Peace be with you." I think this is a powerful message to these disciples who are walking in fear, who are walking in anxiety and stress, and all of us have that. We all have anxiety and stress, and we all need this peace. Peace that God gives, not that the world gives, but the peace that God gives. Peace be unto you. The second word that we looked at a couple of weeks ago was the word purpose. Purpose. People are searching for purpose in this life. And Jesus gives this to the disciples when he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Sent into the world to reflect the goodness, the glory, the honor, and the power of our great God. And how do we accomplish that? We accomplish that by our third word, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. What I like about this passage of Scripture, and look what it says, "And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" You and I need the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in us and live in us. And God has come to say, "Here is my Spirit. I breathe on you and in you. Here is the breath of God. Here is the breath of God." And what I think is very, very interesting in the next word is the power of forgiveness. There's power in forgiveness. You're going to need the Spirit of God to forgive. That's what he's saying. Notice this fourth word that we will look at this morning. "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says this in verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is to remit the sins of another person. The word means to send forth or to send away. And in God's case, when God forgives you, he sends your sin away. In other words, when he deals with your sin, it's no longer there. He sends it away. It also has to do with the remission of the punishment due to the sinful conduct. It's the deliverance of the sinner from the penalty of the sin. The complete removal of the sin. It's sending sin away. Now, what does it mean to retain sins? To retain sins means you just hold on to them. You get possession of something. Instead of sending the sins away, you hold on to them. It means that you hold on to such an extent that you prevent the escape of sin from your life. And God didn't do that. God has not held on to your sins. Amen? He's remitted them. He has sent them away. He sees us as delivered. He sees us as holy. He sees us as pure and as blameless. So what does this verse mean? in this fallen world, in your own brokenness, you will need and you do need the gift of forgiveness. It's the forgiveness of God to be made right with Him. In this fallen world, you'll be wounded, you'll be hurt, and you'll be broken. And in that brokenness, you will be tempted to anger. You will be tempted to be bitter, to walk in unforgiveness. And in those moments, you will need this gift of forgiveness so that you, like God, would send the offense and all the pain away. No matter what they've done to you, no matter what they've said to your child, no matter what's happened in this life, you will need this gift of forgiveness to send those sins away and no longer retain them or hold on to them. Because we know what it's like to hold on to the sins and the offenses that have been brought on by other people in our lives. We will need this gift. And I think that's what he's saying to the disciples. Listen, you're going to need this. You're going to be persecuted. Your life is going to be taken away. Lives of your wives, your children, all these things are going to happen. People are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to speak evil against you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to want to kill you. They're going to beat you. And you're going to need to forgive them. Every idle word spoken against you, you will need to forgive. And as you forgive, there'll be power that takes place in your life. This power to forgive. But if you retain them, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be ineffective as a gospel proclaimer and as a Christian in this life. Yes, in those moments, you're going to need this gift. And like God, you'll send the sin and the offense away. And His peace and His purpose and His Spirit will pave that way. To ultimately unbreak your brokenness by you forgiving as you were forgiven. You want to be unbroken today? Because if you're broken today, and if you're wounded today, and if you're hurt today, I don't know about you, but I want to be made whole. And I want to tell you this, in 30-something years of ministry, this is the key. It is the key in this life to find the peace, the purpose, and the power of God. It's to forgive. You know, we think about God's forgiveness and we think, whew, I'm so glad I'm forgiven. But in some ways, it's sort of like, that's just half the equation. I mean, it's just half the equation. God has forgiven you. And to live the abundant life, to complete the fullness of God, the life that God offers you, you must in turn be a forgiver. Forgiving the sins of those. And the power of the Spirit enables you to do that. You know, I just want to say this. The way that you move in life in this passage of Scripture is that you first of all must believe and you must receive God's forgiveness of your sins. God didn't hold on to your sins. Why are you holding on to them? There are some of you who have had moral failure. There are some of you who have erred in certain areas of life. You've said things you shouldn't have said. You've done things you shouldn't have done. Some of you have walked in seasons of this. And your sin has hurt people. And it's hurt you. And one day, you repented and you turned. First of all, you turned from sin when you gave your life to Christ. But then you turned. And you stopped doing what you were doing by the power of God. And you had this sorrow in your life. And this sorrow brought a repentance to you. A repentance, the Bible says, without regret. And you've moved along from a year to 2 years or 3 years. And you know what? You're still being defined by that failure. Because you somehow have held on to the failure, to the sin, to the junk. And you're miserable. My God says, you are forgiven. Now, that's not a loophole to go on and keep doing what you want to do in this life. Please hear what I'm saying. Well, I'm forgiven, so I get to do whatever I want. No, sin will destroy you. It'll destroy relationships. It will destroy your life. I mean, that's the reason why you're in the place that you're in. It'll produce more guilt. You'll need to find more forgiveness. You'll need to make things right again. No, I'm not saying that. But some of you have repented. And that was your lifestyle. But you still have guilt, and you still have shame, and you still have heartache. And what happens is that defines you. It paralyzes you from being this post-resurrection Christian that we're supposed to be in this life. To give peace to other people, to walk in the power of God, to fulfill the purposes of God. In Christ, you are forgiven. Colossians 2:13 says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us that was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way." He nailed it to the cross. This is what He did when He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. If you're in Christ, you're forgiven. If you're in Christ, guilt and shame is removed. If you're in Christ, forgiven sins means unremembered sins. If you're in Christ, if they're unremembered, then they're no longer of any account. And you're no longer defined as sinner, but as saint. The forgiveness of sins made a way for you and I to be right with God. And I want to tell you, to live this passage out, you have to believe this and receive this. The question that I ask this morning is, are you holding on? Are you retaining to the sins of the past? Do you truly believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He took away your sin? Maybe you need to nail that down today. Maybe you need to nail it down by saying, "Yes, I've received Christ, but I've been letting these sins define me all my life. And I've been walking in guilt and I've been walking in shame. And I need to just be renewed in this power of forgiveness today so I can live this life out." Because I want to tell you, if you're living in shame or if you're living in unforgiveness of any sort, your life's miserable. It's just miserable. You're forgiven if you're in Christ today. Now, if you're not in Christ today, you can become to know Him today by believing the work of the cross of Jesus coming to nail those sins to the cross so they're no longer of an account for you. Forgiven. We live this last words of Christ out, the resurrected words, by receiving and believing. And maybe you need to receive that today. But there's a second way that we live this out. We proclaim God's forgiveness of sins. You know that part of the Great Commission in Luke 24, verses 45 through 49, He speaks of the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. People need to come to know and understand through the message of Christ that, first of all, they can be forgiven and that they can be free. And we proclaim that as a part of the gospel message, that you can be forgiven of your sins, that Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. Will you believe it and receive it today, just like we believed it and received it? Even if that means we're doing that today, right now, this very moment. But it's a part of the message. But it's also a part of our lifestyle. It's where I choose to forgive those who've offended me and have sinned against me. Because when I forgive, I become free. And especially if someone is asking me to forgive them and I forgive, it brings freedom to them. And I think that's what He's talking about here. They need that freedom. Offering forgiveness. I think it's a part. I believe it's a part. It's a part of community. It's a part of restoration. It's a part of being restored in brokenness and broken marriages. It's forgiving. And it's saying, "I forgive you. But if you retain the sins..." If I retain your sins and I say, "No, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to continue to walk in anger. I'm going to continue to bring it up the rest of my life, rest of your life." And you retain them. They're retained. I mean, you hold, especially those in relationship, you hold sway over them. And they need to be forgiven by you. And it doesn't matter what they've done, or how hard it is, or how bad it was. There are people in our lives crying out for the forgiveness of God, and the way that you do that is you forgive. Because if you don't, you become bitter, you become angry, and you become defined by that. And you go down a road, and you go down a way that you don't want to go down. Turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, if you would. Genesis chapter 4, a classic example of the downward spiral of becoming angry and walking in anger and unforgiveness. It's found in the life of Cain. This is the way of unforgiveness. Notice, now the man had relations with his wife Eve. She conceived. She gave birth to Cain. She said, "I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." And then again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the flocks. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And it was of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of his firstlings and his flocks and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, He had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain,
Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. I like that. God is saying, listen, you have an opportunity here, sir. You have an opportunity to what you're struggling with right now to master it. Matter of fact, he says, you must do it. Folks, he's having a conversation with God. God is speaking to him. God is pointing out his sin, his stronghold. God is warning him. Warning is a blessing. God does that in Scripture. This is where your heart is, and this is where you're moving toward. You must master it. And so Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Didn't listen, didn't heed, nurtured the anger, nurtured the bitterness, and became the first murderer. This is a way of bitterness. It's a way of anger. The first thing that happens when we move down this, the very first thing that happens is that somehow you become wounded, offended, and angry. I'm convinced that most anger is a result of being wounded. You are wounded. Somehow Cain was wounded here. And what happens is he becomes angry and he becomes offended. We've all been there. Some of us might be there right now. Something's been spoken, something's been done, something's been said, and we take it, we don't like it. Instead of taking that thing to a proper place, we take it to where it should not go, and we nurture it and nourish it, and we become angry, and the Bible says that our countenance falls, right? It falls. God is saying to Cain, listen, you're not doing well here right now. If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. The Bible says that Cain became exceedingly angry. The word means to heat up or to boil. He's offended at God. He's offended by his brother. And anger is just not a good place to be and a good place to camp. Are you angry today? Are you an angry man, an angry woman? Offended? Well, you say, I don't know if I'm angry. Well, ask the closest people next to you. They'll tell you if you're angry or not. They know. You might be dealing with an offense right now, and you're retaining it. You're not sending it away. You got the power to send it away today, right now, this very moment. If you don't, the Bible said sin is crouching at the door, and it wants you. Isn't it interesting that we have a God who wants us? We also have sin that wants us. Jesus comes to give life. This enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Sin is crouching at the door, and it desires you. Cain, you're not totally there yet, but I want to tell you, it's there to catch you, and you must master it so that sin doesn't take you over. But sin does take it over. And the Bible says in verse 8 that this anger led to murder. I want you to notice a couple of things that happens here. Verse 9, the Lord says to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you're cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you cultivate the ground, it'll no longer yield its strength to you. You'll be a vagrant and a wanderer on the face of the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment's too great. Behold, you've driven me from this day from your face, and I'll be hidden, and I'll be vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. Let me tell you what happens to bitter people. I know because I've walked in it before. You somehow become hidden from the face of God. Fellowship's broken. And then I become a spiritual vagrant or wanderer. What does that mean, vagrancy and wandering? They're both from the same root word. It means to waver, to stagger, or to reel. It means to never settle down, always on the run, always fleeing, to move to and fro. That's what happens to us spiritually when we walk in unforgiveness. And I tell you, there's just such great pain in it. There's such great pain and anger and unforgiveness. And matter of fact, your unforgiveness affects more than just you. That anger affects everybody around you. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You angry today? Have you gone the way of Cain? I'm going to tell you, but there's a way to go that's different, that's powerful, that's Doesn't make sense to human mind, and that's the way of Christ. It is forgiving 7 times 70. It is. It's letting it go. 70 times 7. And some of us have not let it go. We have not let it go. We're still mad. We're still angry. We're still hurting. We're still struggling. And we have an opportunity today to go the way of Christ. Let me ask you this. Is there somebody in your life that's offended you? Might be a mom. Might be a dad. Might be a grandfather. Somebody that wasn't there for you that should have been there for you. You're just mad about it. And you're 40, 50 years old and you're still mad about it. Maybe you're mad at a wife. Husband, mad at somebody that was in your life and is no longer in your life, and you're just angry. Do you want to go the way of Cain, or would you like to go the way of Christ? The way of Christ is, listen, forgive. It's the power. Let it go. I'm giving you the peace, I'm giving you the purpose, and I'm giving you the power to see this happen. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to do that. So how do we do that? How do we do that? First of all, I believe strongly in the scripture that says to make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And when I'm entertaining thoughts, whether they are of anger or lust or greed or any of those other things, I'm making a provision for the flesh. So what I want to do is I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? I can't explain how to do that. I just say, listen, you have an opportunity to put him on, to act like he acts, to live like he lives. And somehow by an act of my will, by the power of the Spirit, I want to reflect the wardrobe of Christ. The second thing is, I'm going to choose to forgive the offender. And what I do is, I have to recall and identify the offense. And that's not a hard thing. That's easy because I know what the offense is. And I know I can identify. I can tell you exactly why I'm mad, why I'm angry, why I'm walking in unforgiveness. But I think it's still important. I need to identify it. I need to search it out. Why are you angry? It's a question. So you might not know why you're really angry. Second thing under that is what I'd want to do is, and this is hard, I want to thank God for the offense. Wow. Thanking God for everything. We've been there, haven't we? We've talked about a little bit of that. But I want to thank God for it. Don't understand, don't like it, don't want to do it, don't want to say it, but God, I want to thank you for it because I know you're God. Somehow, in my mind, in my heart, it just makes things move so much quicker in my life when I'm just thanking God for everything. I want to ask a question, something like this. What benefit do I receive by walking in unforgiveness toward my offender? I want to recall how God has forgiven me and how someone else in my life has forgiven me. And then I want to just pray that specific prayer of forgiveness, and I want to ask the Lord to remove all bitterness and anger. This week in staff, we talked about this. Jeanette brought a video. I want you to see that video right now.
We end tonight with one of the most potent powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me.
He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20, and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you? I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close. They are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself, and I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
Wow. We have the power to do that. You and I have the power to forgive sins, but we also have the choice to retain them. This woman chose to forgive, not retain. She let him go. And guess what she's done? She's won a convert who's preaching in prisons and speaking in prisons now because forgiveness is a powerful thing. One of the things that I often do with some of you, I've done this with you, maybe you need to do this with me. But there's a prayer of forgiveness that I often lead people to. I was led through it. If this prayer means anything to you, if it touches your heart, it often does, I'll take it and I'll put it across my desk or I'll just say, read this prayer. Just read it right now. You don't even have to pray it. Just read it. And they read it and I read it. Father, I confess that I've not loved the following people who have hurt and disappointed me. I've held unforgiveness in my heart towards, I name the offender, for the offense. This is sin. What is sin? Me holding unforgiveness is sin. And I ask you to forgive me for this bitterness, this anger, this wrath that I've walked in. I know that on my own I can never forgive them, but I know that you can through me. So right now, by an act of my will and by according to your powerful spirit, I choose to forgive and release him, her, them of the debt. I'll no longer walk in agreement with bitterness and unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I make no provision for the flesh. I choose to put on love. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And as you have forgiven, so I will forgive. Thank you for this power, for this freedom. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll slip that over, and that person will read it. And oftentimes, that person starts weeping. And from just reading it, he or she starts praying it. And freedom comes. Freedom comes. So I recall the offense. I thank God for it. I ask, what benefit do I receive by walking in it? Do I recall how God has forgiven me? And I pray this prayer. But there's a final thing that we see from this video. We invest somehow in the life of an offender. And that's hard. Maybe all you can do is pray for that person. You're still investing. Or maybe you can just now greet that person. At least you're greeting them with a smile. Most of us in this place would say, but have them move next door to me and give them a hug? Not me. Not me. I'll just keep remembering what they did. The way of Cain or the way of Christ? The way of Cain, the way of Christ. Listen. You've got the Spirit today. You've got the power to have the same kind of freedom that we see in this Bible and we see in that. She said it doesn't mean that it diminishes what they did and it doesn't change the past. Hear what I'm saying. But as someone wrote to me this week, it doesn't change the past, but it sure enlarges the future. Amen? Doesn't change the past, but it sure enlarges the future. Who is it that you need to forgive today?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on